Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Want to thank everyone for tuning in once again to Thursday. This is 99.5 FM, The Word. It's 9:30 p.m. We're on from Monday through Friday, right here on your favorite station. Don't move that dial. We're going to have 30 minutes, and tonight's message, the Lord put a message upon my heart. And I think it applies to each and every one of us out there, whether we're inside, outside, sideways, upside, downside. And it's called Running from God. But today, I am so privileged and so honored. I am just like tickled like a bumblebee. I've got my precious princess daughter, Isabella Ruth Ke'ali'i Alohi Okalani Eastman, in the studio with me today. It was her very first day of school. That's why all the parents are smiling across Hawaii name. Isabella, say hello to the thousands of fans out there and let them know how your first day of school was today.
Hello.
And how was school today for you, Isabella?
It went well. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Pleasantly surprised. Now, what did you guys have for lunch?
I had a sandwich.
You had a sandwich? And what kind of sandwich was that?
A turkey sandwich.
So your school is a healthy school then?
You could say that.
Okay, we're going to let Isabella return to her oodles and oodles of homework. Just blessed to have my daughter in the studio this afternoon. And, it's all about family, guys. It's all about the Ohana. It's all about taking care of each other. And our anchor verse for Free Inside Ministry is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future." And that goes out to each and every one of you. That's not just for me. That's not just for Isabella. That's not just for Lynn. That's not just for our family or our church. That's for everyone. Because the promises of God ring true. Amen. Amen. And I just want to give a shout out to our brethren, all of those that we see every week regularly. I want to apologize to the Halava boys last night, the Berean boys I call you on Wednesday nights. With Convoy of Hope, we weren't able to get there. And then last night, it just was a scheduling conflict. Did talk to Chaplain Dennis Yokota, and it's going to be fine. We're going to be back there. We just got to adjust our schedules. You know, currently, right now, Free Inside Ministry is providing about 42 services a month in the facilities here on Oahu. And I want to give a shout out to each and every one of those modules and all of those facilities. We're going to start off up in Waiapa. We're coming up then next week, boys. Spread the word around. Auntie Lynn and Brother Bula are coming up. Going to have a powerful word for you. It's been a while. So anxious to see all of you and praise and worship our Lord together. Amen. And, you know, out there in Halava, we still have our Friday chapel services every Friday. That's with Pastor Scott Sonoda. And we have our Berean services on the third Wednesday of every month. Moving down to OCCC. Want to give a shout out to Modules 18, Module 17, Module 8, Annex 1, and our sisters in Modules 3 and 4. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to seeing everyone there this Saturday. Going to have a powerful time in the facility at OCCC this coming weekend. Don't want to forget our boys at FDC. We're getting back into the flow there. We're looking forward to seeing you guys on Sunday. And just want to give a big shout out to you guys. I know you're having your nightly Bible study at 6 p.m. Keep up the good work. Keep up the faith, my brothers. And, I want to give a shout out to Brother John. John, if you're where you're at, where I think you're at, stay in the light, keep it tight, and keep it right, brother. Look forward to seeing all of you there. And tonight, well, by the time we hear this, because I am recording this, I'm pre-recording this today, we will have been up to WCCC with our sisters up there. I just talked to Chaplain Tammy this afternoon, confirmed that we will be both at Olomana, and we'll be at Manawili. We're going to get a great coverage at the facility this afternoon, in the evening, and looking forward to seeing all of our sisters. Pastor Scott's going to be coming. He'll be going up to the Olomana side and sharing his mana'o with them, and I'll be on the other side with our team. So we're just excited. If you ladies are listening to this, I want to give a shout-out for all of you that did come tonight, and God is good. Amen. All the time and all the time. That's right. God is good. Amen. You know, Free Inside Ministry is our prison ministry that has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated. And we preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in the facilities on Oahu and also in Saguaro, Arizona. You know, I gave you our anchor verse. I just want to let you know we do have a website, www.freeinsideministry.org. And we also, for those of you still paddling in the wave of social media, we do have a Facebook page, and it's Free Inside Ministry. Go there for the latest updates of what's going on with the ministry and any good reports that we do have. And, you know, it's just wonderful because it's not about anything we do. It's about everything the Lord does through us. You know, the four words that will change anyone's life is, Lord, here I am. And when I boast of the Lord and not of ourselves or of our ministry. But right now, as we speak, Free Inside Ministry Facebook page has reached out to over 21 countries, 19 languages. And according to the statistics that are downloaded, we are reaching anywhere from 28,000 to 43,000 people a week with the Facebook page. Now, all I got to say about that is one word, praise Jesus. What did I say? Praise Jesus. What did I say? Praise Jesus. Bula, that's two words. Yeah, but it's just one thought. Praise Jesus. You know, and it's really interesting when we have people, we have over 1,500 fans following the Facebook page, and it's just people that are looking for an encouraging word. It's just about people that are looking for some real answers to have some real problems that they have, looking for a real God. You see, we don't go to church. We are the church, my brethren. Like I tell you, my brothers and sisters that are behind the walls, you do not have to be locked up to be locked out. Amen. We've got brothers and sisters that are more free behind the walls than those that are walking down Kalakaua Avenue right now in Waikiki. Amen. Amen. And it's the power of the Word of God that's going to free you. If the world got you where you're at, you got to believe that the Word is going to deliver you to where you want to be. Amen. But tonight I have a great message. It's a two-part series, and I want to ask all of you to make sure you tune in tomorrow night also for part two. And it's called Running from God, and it's going to be a two-part series. Amen? Now, you all probably have heard the story about Jonah. Jonah is a great Sunday school story, and it's about the guy that got stuck in the whale. Remember that guy? The guy that got stuck in the whale? But it's about a man who was a prophet in the Old Testament. So I'm going to build a little bit of a foundation before we get into our study tonight so that we have a better grasp, that we have a better understanding, that we are able to grab a hold of what the Lord is trying to share with us tonight. Amen? So you see, the book of Jonah is actually, I call it the test book of the Bible, because it challenges our faith. Our attitude towards Jonah is going to reveal our attitude towards God and His Word. Amen? You see, Jonah, if you know this for a fact, but Jonah was a very famous statesman who actually helped develop the northern kingdom of Israel into a very powerful and prosperous region. Amen? It's in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, and it's mentioned, he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. Now, there are two great events that happen in the book of Jonah. The first great event is that the great fish swallows Jonah. To me, that would be a pretty great event. Right now in Hawaii, all they're doing is munching us. The sharks are getting hungry. But this story about Jonah is about the great fish that swallows Jonah. And the second event is that a city such as Nineveh, a large heathen city, could be converted by an obscure missionary in just a few days. Listen to what God says in Matthew 12, 41. Don't turn there. I'm only using this as a reference in the New Testament to look what took place actually in the Old Testament. So it's just a point of reference I wanted to show you. It's Matthew 12. I'll be actually starting from verse 38 to 41. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. You see, that's pretty scary right there, because you can give your life to the Lord, clear out all the rubbish in your life, all the opala in your life, but if you do not guard your heart, if you do not guard your mind, if you do not guard your soul, the evil spirit comes back, inhabits you with seven other spirits, and they take residence. This is why you always have to pray. You always have to be in alignment with God for His will, not your will. And you have to pray, pray, and pray. But in the book of Jonah, if you want to look in the Old Testament, we're going to be in the first chapter in the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. How many of us know we can't run from God? Amen. That's why the message this evening, my brothers and my sisters, my brethren, is called Running from God. In verse 4, chapter 1 in the book of Jonah, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Funny, when the blank hits the fan, everybody starts screaming for what they believe in. Some of us might be screaming to Allah. Some of us might be screaming to Buddha. Some of us might not be screaming at all because we're atheists. But it's interesting, in a time of calamity, in a time of storm, in a time of danger, we reach out to what we feel to be the answer to our universe. Amen? That's why I say praise Jesus. Amen. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went down to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it'll become calm. I know that's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. You see, we need to recognize, my brethren, the hand of God in our lives every day when He delivers us, when He saves us, when He blesses us, when He provides for us, when He heals us, when He protects us, and like I said in the beginning, when He delivers us. Amen? A lot of times we pray for a miracle, and when the miracle happens, because God can do a miracle in about a nanosecond, but why would God want to do a miracle if as soon as you become delivered, you forget who your deliverer is? Amen? So in Jonah's situation, he calmly told his compadres on the boat, "Well, the reason this storm is raging and the boat's getting all broken up, it's because of me." So even though he told them the truth, they still didn't want to cast him into the storm. There's still a hope for humanity. Amen? But they realized they had to. So they did. But once the raging seas became calm, they themselves realized who had calmed the seas. They offered a sacrifice and made vows to God. Amen. So now this is going into verse 17 in chapter 1 in the book of Jonah. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now I know this is a great Sunday school story, and we always make fun of the big fish. How big was the fish? Because for some of us, it'd have to be a really big, big fish to eat us, and for some of us, it could be a medium fish, but for me, it would be nothing short of a humpback whale to get me down in his belly, just to get past his throat. That'd be for me and probably Robert K. Collum. But we won't go there. So anyway, so Jonah, see, but this is the interesting part. In verse 17, the Lord provided. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. The Lord provides everything you need in your life, be it the food on your table or the fish that's going to swallow you. The Lord's going to provide it. He is the maker of all living things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher, my bright and shining star, Jehovah Jireh, supplier of all, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, hallelujah, Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. But you go down into further down in chapter 2, and it says, from inside the fish, must have some great sound effects in the fish, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, you know, and this goes to show you, it doesn't matter where you're at. If Jonah can pray in a fish, we can pray anywhere we're at. You can pray at the stoplight. You can pray at the baseball game. You can pray at the karaoke. You can pray. Imagine praying at church. Hallelujah. You could pray in your cell. You could pray in prison. You could pray at child. You could pray in the dispensary. You can pray at the store. You can pray anywhere. Because Jonah's setting the example by praying in the belly of the great fish. Now, I'm not sure if any of you ever prayed in the belly of a great fish, but if you did, I need to talk to you. But Jonah's prayer is very succinct. It's very direct. It's very concise. It's straight to the point. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Because you know God answers prayers, my beloved. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. No matter what happens to us, my brothers and sisters, we stay focused on God Almighty. The engulfing waters threatened me. They deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. You know why? Because Jesus saves, my beloved. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Upon confession and pure worship, the Lord delivers us from what entraps us. Amen. In this entire chapter 2, we see how Jonah has a change of heart. And he realizes once and for all, salvation comes from the Lord. That's in verse 9. Now in verse 8, this is really interesting. In verse 8, he says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Now some of us think of idols only as statues or other ornate creations, fabrications, machinations of someone or a blacksmith or someone who is an artist. But do you really know what the definition of the word idol is? An idol is an image or other material object representing a deity to which religious worship is addressed. Or, this is a big OR, or this is like when you hear about Dr. Oz and Oprah Winfrey, but no, this is OR, any person or thing regarded with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion. Hallelujah. With that in mind, your career could be an idol. Your hobby could be an idol. I know that. I used to golf a lot. I used to be a golf nut, one golf addict. I had to golf 3-4 times a week. I was hooked. I was jonesing every time to go golf. So even a hobby, something as going to the gym every day for 2.5 hours, that could become your idol. You know, some of us bury ourselves in our jobs. That could be considered an idol. That's not a bad thing, but you need to have some balance. It all is in context with our message today, running from God. Or your idol could be something that's maybe not that good for you. Maybe it could be a drug. Maybe it could be a pipe. Maybe your idol could be a needle. Maybe your idol could be the bottle. Maybe that idol could be the high you get after taking a hit. Maybe it could be pills. That could be one of your idols. Or how about anything you're jonesing for is an idol. For those of you that have ever had an addiction or affliction, when I say the word jonesing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, it doesn't have to be a statue. It doesn't have to be an ornate structure that you look up to. It's just something that consumes you. If you have something in your life that consumes you and it's not the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, that is an idol. You shall worship no other gods before me, says our Lord and Savior. But you see, God released Jonah from the belly of the great fish after he realized who God really was and said salvation comes from the Lord. For my brothers and sisters that are sitting behind the fence tonight, you could be behind the walls tonight. You could be behind there. You could be in the belly of your great fish, metaphorically speaking, comparatively speaking, making an analogy. Maybe it doesn't have to be a great fish, a big fish. Maybe it could just be a big prison with a lot of cells in there. It could be a big fish with a lot of people in his belly. Maybe you feel like you too were thrown overboard by your family, by your friends. But you got to know this. God loves you right where you are at. But, that's a big but. But he loves you too much to leave you there. Amen? If nothing else you learn from tonight, if you don't take any gems or nuggets from the message tonight of running from God, know that God loves you right where you're at, but that he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. Amen? Are you in the belly of the great fish? Can you smell that smell of rotting flesh around you, dying flesh? Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God," in Luke chapter 9, verse 60. What are you running from? It could be a bad relationship, could be an addiction, could be a life filled with just bad choices and even worse consequences. What are you really running from? I'm asking you, my brother, my sister, as you sit at the edge of your bunk, as you look out that window into the stars, hoping and wishing for your freedom, as you look around you at the mass of humanity that's just doing nothing but waiting to die, they're not living for God, they're just living for themselves, and they're all going to die. We're all going to die in flesh, but we shall live in spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jonah heard the command from God to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. He heard the commission from God himself when God said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." That's in the first chapter of Jonah, verse 2. Now, because the wickedness had been presented to him. You see, but Jonah made a choice. We all make choices. That's all what life is about. It's all about choices. Jonah chose to disobey God. Now, I know that we have all made a choice at some times in our life not to listen to God, to disobey God, to ignore God. We're just like Jonah at that point. But look where Jonah ended up, in the belly of a great fish. Look where you're sitting at tonight if you're one of those that are incarcerated for a time. Maybe you're in that belly of the fish, but it's not called the great fish. It's called Halava, that belly of the great fish. The great fish now has a name. It's called Wayava. The great fish has a name. It's OCCC or WCCC or FDC or maybe Saworo. Maybe God is waiting for you to call out to him like Jonah did. All God did was have the great fish vomit Jonah out of his belly and deliver him onto the beach. All the Lord can do for you is get a reduction in your sentence and toss you out into the free world. Amen. You see, but Jonah did not know what God was going to do. But what Jonah did know was that God was and is and will always be in control. Jonah realized that finally. He realized he couldn't run from God. He tried to. God found him. God messed him up. God got him in a place so that he would have all of Jonah's attention. I think if you're in the belly of a great fish, I think the one thing you would be thinking about is, how do I get out of here? Does that sound familiar, my brothers and my sisters? Sitting there in your cell tonight, right before lights out, you're probably mulling that thought, pondering that, thinking about it. How do I get out of here? But as I tell you, it's not the bars that hold you in bondage. It's the sins of your heart that will continue to keep you in bondage. But you know, he couldn't hide from God. He couldn't avoid God, because God is the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all living things. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God will meet you where you're at in order to take you where he wants you to go. Let me say that again so you can pull this nugget. God will meet you where you're at in order to take you where he wants you to go. Look where he met Jonah, in the belly of the great fish. God can meet you right where you're at, right now, if you call out to him as Jonah did in the belly of that fish. So what if your life is messy? Perfect is not the plan. Purpose is. Everyone's life is messed up. It's time to get blessed up. Amen? If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you got to take a look in the mirror and figure out what you're going to do. Because you got to realize the only way you get through something is to go through it. You don't go around it. You don't go over it. You don't go under it. But you go through it. Moses didn't go around the wilderness. He didn't go over the wilderness. He didn't go under the wilderness. Moses went through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Hallelujah. You're not going to go over or around your situation or your sentence. You have to go through your sentence. So why not go through your sentence with God holding your hand? Hallelujah. Know this, where you're going is much more important than where you've been. Amen. Know that. Know that where you are going is much more important than where you have been. Don't let your past punish your future. Amen. Because if you live in your past, you're stuck in stupid. That's the bottom line. Because you see, the prayer is the door to the presence of God. If you're not praying, then you got problems. And if the only time you're praying is when you're in trouble, then you're in trouble. The only time you pray is when you're in trouble. I'm going to say it again. You're in trouble. As Christians, we're not asked to bring all to Jesus Christ. We are asked to bring Jesus Christ to all. We just plant the seed and let God do the rest. God said to come as you are, not stay as you are. The power of love is good, and the power of God is great. But it's the power of the love of God that will allow miracles, signs, and wonders to take place before you. Amen? We're talking about Jonah today. We're talking about Jonah running from God. You know, it's just like growing up small kid time. How do your parents always find out about what you did? That's impossible, but they do. It's like they're the CIA, the Secret Service, the FBI, HPD, and the Neighborhood Patrol Watch all rolled up in one. You get do something and you're like, oh, they'll never find out. Oh, crackers, they find out, and what? There's a price to pay. Just like how Jonah was trying to run away from God. He realized at the end that he was not able to run away from God. Some of us, we try to run away from reality. We try to run away from the truth. But you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if the truth shall set you free, you've got to know that. And so, my brothers and my sisters, I just wanted to share with you the first part, because now we've got Jonah on the beach. He's just been thrown up on the beach by the great fish. And so now we're sitting on the beach, and it's like, oh, time to wise up. Maybe we better get to Nineveh. Maybe we better complete the commission that God had given us originally. So we're sitting with Jonah on the beach, you know, we're wiping all the seaweed out of our eyes right now and our face, you know, enjoying the fresh air, because you've got to realize that it wasn't really fragrant. It didn't smell too good when we were inside there in the fish, in the belly of the fish. But now through our Lord Jesus Christ, we've escaped the belly. We've got on the outside. We're a free man. We're a free woman. Are we going to answer the commission that the Lord has given each and one of us to go forth and make disciples of all nations? Are we going to answer that call? Well, we're going to continue this tomorrow night in part two, but I want to thank you all for tuning in. Be blessed, not stressed.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.